invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, the book of the Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, as we continue here in our consideration of these two words, I am, we come to this passage here in verse number 8, where the Lord Jesus Christ, in seemingly even much different not form, but in a greater manifestation of his presence and his greatness and glory, John sees the Lord Jesus on the Isle of Patmos. Remember, as we consider about this, Brother John was with the Lord Jesus Christ during the days of his ministry when he came meek and lowly, right? He saw the Lord Jesus likened to this on the Mount of Transfiguration when his glory shone and he was white and glistering, as the scripture says, and he was bright and shining. And then the Lord quelled that back down, and then they went on with the ministry of the Lord. This same John is the one that's there at the night as the Lord observes the Passover, institutes the Lord's Supper. That night that he was betrayed, the night before he's going to give his life on Calvary and be killed there on the cross, is that same John that's there lying upon the Lord Jesus' breast. And that's kind of difficult for us to understand in our culture, but he has a great love for the Lord. John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think he marveled in that. And so he was there very near unto the Lord, and you remember how it was there. Jesus said, the one that's dipping with me is the one that's going to betray me. And Peter's over there a little bit away, and he's like, you know how we'll do is ask him. Peter's saying, ask the Lord who it is. John says, who is it, Lord? Who is it that's going to betray you? And the Lord gave that indication, and of course they didn't catch it and understand that it was Judas. They thought when the Lord sent Judas out, he sent him on some business to do. And then it's the same John that saw the Lord there in the Sanhedrin. Remember, John went down into the Sanhedrin when they had that mock trial of our Lord Jesus. He was brave enough to do so. Peter had problems with that. He just couldn't get that close, and the Lord dealt with Peter. And then it was this same John that saw the resurrected Christ. He had doubts, too, about Jesus being resurrected. The Lord rebuked them all for their unbelief. And then saw the Lord during that 40 days as he ministered to him. And then here now on the Isle of Patmos, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thinking like he's never seen him before. The Mount of Transfiguration was close. And I think the Lord Jesus, he certainly was... His glory was there. I don't know if it was when he was with them during that 40 days, but he was there with them. And now John sees his Savior again. And I want us this morning, I want us to put ourselves in his, we wouldn't say shoes, but we would in his sandals. You know, and how is it with your relationship with this Lord? John had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is his Savior, his King, his Redeemer, his God. He knows and understands that Jesus is the Almighty. And he's got a relationship with him, yet he is indeed in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that we see this here. The Lord Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Verse number 8, saith the Lord. Listen to this, which is, present tense, which was, past tense, and which is to come, the Almighty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Your blessings upon us are great. Father, we just thank you for all your touch upon our lives. Thank you that you are God, and beside you there's none other. And Lord, as great and as majestic and magnificent as you are, you've considered us. Not only saved us, Father, and redeemed us and saved us from our sins and from hell and from the condemnation of our sins and that, but Lord, not only have you saved us and just brought us to sit in a solid place in Christ, but Lord, you've made us your children. that you've made us your children. Help us, Father, to get a hold of that, that you've made us, you've adopted us, you've made us your children. And Lord, we might rejoice in it. We might rejoice in our Savior. And Lord, we might glorify your name this day. We pray, Father, for those without Christ that are here without him as their Lord and Savior, Father, that they might see Jesus today. Lord, that you might reveal the Lord Jesus Christ unto them as they've never seen him before. Lord, you'd save them. Help us to be a good minister and good witness of your word and your truth and of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. And Father, work in our midst today. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega. Alpha being the first letter. It's that way, I guess, as I understand it, in other languages and such. Alpha is the first character in the Hebrew alphabet also. A, it is in our English alphabet. And it also, indeed, is directly referenced here in the Greek alphabet. I didn't learn any Greek. I don't know much about Greek other than what I can read and pick up. But Alpha is that first letter. And then Omega. In the Greek alphabet, it's the last character, the last letter. The Lord Jesus says here, I'm the beginning and I'm the ending. The beginning and the ending. And as another thing to consider as we go through the message here this morning, how is it that you stand with this one that is Alpha and Omega? As we would say it, that's A to Z. How is it that you stand with him and his work and his power and his ability and his plan? How is it that you stand with him? Are you part of that? Are you part of his plan? Are you part of his work? Are you part of his purpose in that you're there joined with this one that is Alpha and Omega? Or are you one that's subject to it? And I know that we as his children, we are subject to his work and his salvation and his redemption. But you know, understand that in that, what he's done for us, he's brought us near. He's brought us to himself. As the Lord Jesus stands there relative to time and eternity and all that he's doing and everything, we're complete in him, as Natalie played. We're there with him. We're not off somewhere far away, and there is a distance that we're separated from him in glory now. But you know what? He lives in our souls, and we'll be with him one day forever, and we won't depart from him for anymore. And we're there with him. But those that are without Christ, you that are here that don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are subject to what he's going to do, what he's doing and going to do. And you pass out of this life and you'll be the object of his wrath and condemnation and eternal judgment. See the difference? When it comes to Alpha and Omega, where do you stand? Are you there with him because of him? Or are you an object of those things that he's going to do as he wraps up this world and has his millennial reign and then wraps up and destroys this world and establishes a new heaven and a new earth? Where do you stand? Are you there with him? Are you near to him? Are you, as he says, his friend and his brethren? He says, go tell my brethren that I've risen from the dead. Think about that. I tell you what, that the Lord referring to me as his child, referring to us as his brethren, that's exciting to me. And this is the most famous person that has ever lived or ever will live. This is the greatest one that ever has been, is, and ever will be. And he knows me. He knows me. I mean, he doesn't know of me. He knows me. He knows all about me. He saved me. Tell you what, we can rejoice in that, can't we? And we need to. And listen to what John, the account here in this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. We're his servants in this life. And he's showing us some things that are going to come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. What John saw, pardon me, what he was given, he's telling it and he's making a record of it. He's writing it down so that you and I might know it. Understand this blessing that's here. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words, that listen to the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's a blessing for reading and for listening to this prophecy of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to put it all together. And I think the Lord will bless with some things in that. Some things are very plain. Other things we scratch our heads and probably go out of this life scratching our heads about. Until we see them or the Lord manifests them where we can see and know that they are. But there's a blessing in this revelation, and who's it to? His servants. And so his servants might know. Now, his servants knowing this, we as the Lord's children knowing this, what the contents of the book of Revelation are, we can take this as we have with the Word of God and tell that to others and warn them about things to come. But this is written so that you and I can know things. So we can know about this. Blessed is he that readeth. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his, that is Jesus, God Almighty's throne. He says, this message is coming from God to you, churches. And there's an emphasis here on these seven churches, and that's a subject for another time. But he says, I'm writing to you. This is, in a sense, a church epistle, isn't it? It is. It is. John's a church man. He believes in the church. Everything he writes is going to have come from that perspective about the Lord's people being saved and a member of one of his New Testament Baptist churches. He says, this is coming from the Lord and coming from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus, verse 5, who is the faithful witness. He was and is the faithful witness of God, isn't he? Tells all about God. He's told it to us. He's told it in his word, and he will represent. He represents God in every way. He is God. But as a man, that's part of what he does as being a man. And the first begotten of the dead, the first one to raise from the dead of his own volition and ability and power. And the prince of the kings of the earth. He's above number one. Every king that's ever lived. Brother Doug just took us through a lesson about Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was brought to the point by the Lord to acknowledge it. He's my king. I may be king of the world, but he is my king. Who's that down there in that furnace? Well, it's one like the Son of Man. Nobody had to tell him who the Lord Jesus was. When he saw him in that furnace, he knew he was the Lord. Although all that a part of the Lord working on Nebuchadnezzar and bringing him to himself. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us. King, prince of the kings of the earth that loved us. You get that? The leaders of this world that have been and are and will be, they don't even have a clue who I am. They don't have a clue, most likely, who you are. Nor do they care. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he cares, doesn't he? He cares. And here, I tell you what, John's going into a worshiping fit here, isn't he? Okay, it's not unseemly, and it's not without reverence to the Lord. But listen to what he's writing. He's worshiping his Lord in this. Listen, he says, I'm writing to the seven churches. Grace be unto you and peace. This message is coming from the Lord and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. You know what? You can have a worship fit too and worship the Lord by just declaring over to him what he is. John's on the aisle by himself. Well, him and the Lord, amen. And he's worshiping the Lord. He says, You're all these things. You are the faithful witness. You're the first that raised from the dead, but by his own power, the only one that has. You're the prince of the kings of the earth, and you love me. You love us, and you've washed us from our sins in your own blood. Verse 6, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what? You can do that out there in the lawnmower, mowing your yard. Now, don't do it on Sunday instead of coming to services. But you can praise the Lord for who he is and what he's done and what he's promised and his touch upon your life. He's worthy to be praised. And we need to do it as our brother did here. He says here, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's true. Verily, verily, it's true, and truly that is the case. Amen. Amen to it. John's getting excited, I believe, as he's writing that. Behold, verse 7, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, speaking of Israel. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. He's going to do something that's fantastic, that's miraculous, that's going to take this old world and bring this world as it operates and works in the way of man and its depravity and the way of Satan that's at hand and intermingled and woven into all that. He's going to take it and bring it to a stop. And then he's going to take it and he's going to run it the way he wants to. And the people of God will say, amen. And hallelujah to it. And John, he's excited. Listen to this. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. John has seen that and he writes it here, a precursor to what he's going to tell about the Lord and his appearing unto him. Which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, my great God from eternity, has loved and considered and been interested in me. And he, in taking such an interest in me, he will always be interested in me. And he loves me. And John says, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says himself, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And then has this here thing to help us to understand it, to make it more clear, a mention here relative to time, which is present tense, and which was past tense, and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9, I, John, who am your brother and companion in tribulation, which we'll all suffer, those that live godly will do so, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. We have to wait on the Lord for him to work, and we've talked about that in recent times, about how it is we spend so much time waiting. We have to have patience in the Lord. Was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the reason I'm here. I'm having this bit of tribulation. I've been exiled to this island because of my stand for the word of God and the testimony that I have for it. That's what's put me here. That old wicked ruler that exiled me to this island thought to do me harm and is hoping that I'll be dead. But you know what? God's going to take this thing. He's going to use it for his honor and his glory. Now, John's excited about that, isn't he? He says, I've got some tribulation. He said, I know what tribulation's about. I'm your brother. I'm your companion in tribulation. I get it. I understand it. You know what? If you're going to live godly, you might offend some folks. But I tell you what, you want to offend the Lord or you want to offend some folks? Not that we're going out and looking to just dig people. You understand that? We're not looking to just dig people and to rile people up. But to stand for what the Lord has given us, the Lord Jesus Christ, and where he's promised to meet and worship, and the work that he's promised to do in his church, and the things that he tells us that he's done for us, and he is doing for us and will do for us. Don't you want to be faithful to him in that? Do you want to have tribulation from the Lord? Or do you want to have tribulation from the world? I'd rather have tribulation from the world, wouldn't you? Yeah, a frown, a scowl, a note of disgust. I tell you what, I don't want my Savior looking at me and talking to me that way. Do you? No. We need to stand and stand in the Lord, stand for his truth and be there where he says that he will meet us in this great blessing that we have in his church. He said, John said, I'm having some tribulation because of this, because of his word, and for the testimony, the stand of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Are you and I? Are we in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Are we thinking about the Lord? Thinking about his word? Looking to dig into the truth of God's word and just have some things brought to us, bring some things to ourselves as we would read it and listen to it, as we would hear preaching, as we would hear teaching. Brother Stephen starting a Sunday school lesson about children and what the scripture says about children. We need to know about that. We need to rejoice in that. We need to take that and apply it to our lives. We need to believe what the Lord believes. Amen. And praise his name in it. Praise God that the Lord designed the family so there could be children. What a blessing. What a blessing. And what a blessing it is that he calls us children. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, as the Lord's day comes, or the time that the church is purposed to meet together. You know, when Olmsted Baptist Church purposes to meet together for a service, for a time of worship, for our midweek service, for special services, for Sunday worship, for cottage prayer meetings, for times of fellowship. When the church purposes to do that, when the church comes together, who's there? The Lord. He's promised to meet with us every time. He's promised to meet with us. And do we want to miss out? Do we want to not go and be there together? We should. John says, I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day, and it was just him and the Lord. Nobody else there to meet together. But he was keeping track. And it was the first day of the week, no doubt. And he was filled and thinking about the things of the Lord and looking to worship the Lord. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Do you think the Lord sounded like a trumpet when he was with him in his ministry? Well, the Lord preached, and there was a difference known in the Lord when he opened his mouth and spoke. And John is worshiping the Lord, and the Lord is the Spirit of God has moved upon him to write these things, and he begins writing or will begin writing after he sees these things. And I tell you what, he is rejoicing in the Lord. Do we rejoice in our Lord? We just save it for Sunday, or do we do it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? We need to do it. We need to rejoice in our Lord. And he was there. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, singing to the Lord. Who cares what the world thinks? You're out there on your lawnmower and you're singing to the Lord and singing those choruses and humming those songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Who cares what the world thinks? I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. When the Lord Jesus says, and lo, I'm with you always. Did he sound as a great trumpet? I tell you what, he's sounding as a great trumpet now. John's saying, whoa. Whoa. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Jesus is, I am Alpha and Omega. Two positions with Alpha and Omega. You're either with him or you're against him. Two positions with Alpha and Omega. You are either with him or subject to him. Where do you fit in there with Alpha and Omega? I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And so John's turning around. He's turning around. He's there on the Isle of Patmos. He hears this voice. He hears these things that are said to him. And he says, write these things, send it to the seven churches. And John turns around to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden candlesticks there. John sees as he turns around. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And that, what that looks like is it's kind of brass being melted in the furnace. It'll kind of look reddish and orangish, yellowish. It's very, very hot. I tell you what, if it molten brass, if you would touch it, it would just burn up your skin and maybe even burn up your bones. And that's the way his feet look. His head and his hairs of his head were white like wool, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And he had this robe on that was down to his feet, and his feet that showed from underneath the robe were like that molten brass, like it was being heated. His feet like a fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars that were there, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. A sword? That's what it says. The word of God is like a sword. When the Lord speaks, he's going to do something. His word's going to accomplish something, right? It's always been the promise. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. When the sun's shining in its strength, you can't look at it, can you, without damage to your eyes. And the countenance of the Lord, his face shone like the sun. Like the sun, that's our Lord. And look at this. Listen. And when I saw him, verse 17, I felt at his feet as dead. What's he do? He falls, he prostrates himself before the Lord. And we don't do that much. We sure don't do it in public. But do you and I do so in our lives as we would go to the Lord to pray to him and to worship him? Do we prostrate ourselves before him, or are we above that? Is that below us? John, when he sees the Lord, you know, the Lord is worshiped when we are submissive to him, spiritually and physically. We get down to really visit with the Lord and really pray to the Lord and really think about the Lord and acknowledge the Lord in this way. Is this the way the Lord Jesus looks now as he's there in heaven? Tell you what, however he looks, it's great. It's fabulous. It's wondrous to behold him. When he stood up to receive Stephen, as Stephen, when he was martyred, when he stood up, did he look this way? That's our Lord. That's my Lord. If you're here and saved, that's your Lord. And he's there, John says, among these candlesticks, and he's clothed in this way. And John, verse 17, falls at his feet as dead. And listen to this. Are you with the Alpha and Omega? Are you in him? This is a promise. This is a blessing. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I'm the first and the last. He reaches down there and he touches John and he says, fear not. I'm Alpha and Omega, and I'm in you. You're in me. John, you're okay. I've got you, John. Fear not. At my countenance and the way that I look and the greatness and the power of it. Oh, and John has respect to the Lord and he worships the Lord. But the Lord says to him, fear not. Fear not. You know, one that repents of their sins, trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord saves their souls. That's what's happened. The Spirit of God within and salvation of the soul, forgiveness of sins. We've not been given the spirit of fear or the spirit of bondage. But we've been given the spirit of salvation and of the Lord and of a sound mind, a sound heart. We trust in the Lord. And fear not. fear not about that tribulation that might come. As John said, that he stood in the word for the word of the Lord and for the testimony of Christ. Don't fear. Let us not fear. Let us know that we're in the hand of Alpha and Omega, and that he will help us, and he is all powerful and all able in every way. And through Christ, we can do all things. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, John, and was dead, and now, behold, I am alive forevermore. I'll never die again. Amen. The Lord says amen to that. It's solid. It's set. It's true. Truly, truly, it's very true. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Don't you know when the Lord touched John that and he saw that great wonder and that great manifestation of the Lord and his power and his greatness and his holiness? Don't you know he breathed a sigh of relief when the Lord touched him and said, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last." He goes, right? People being people. You and I get afraid of something and then we get relief about it. We get help about it. We sigh, the pressure is off. He's in the hand of his Lord. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. And John, fear not. I'm the beginning and the end. Fear not, John. I've got the keys of hell and death, and I've saved you. Fear not. I'm Alpha and Omega. It started with me. It's ending with me. Fear not, John. Fear not. Fear not. I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. Verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. John, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Wow. That's heavy stuff. I know that's a poor way to say that. You know, I believe that Olmsted Baptist Church has an angel of the Lord. And I understand that this can be interpreted or considered in a couple ways, two ways. But I believe indeed, as nations have angels that work on their behalf, that's manifested in the book of Daniel. Michael is Israel's angel. And angels come to help angels in their fighting and their warring and their accomplishing of the will of God on that other side that we don't see. But Olmsted Baptist Church has an angel from God. And also that word angel can be talking about the pastor. And I tell you what, I need you to pray for me that I'll be in the hand of the Lord and be used of the Lord to be a good minister of good things in Christ and the Word of God to you and your families. This is serious heavenly business, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is serious heavenly, godly business that's at hand. The seven stars are the seven angels of the churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. This morning, since the sun came up and the way that things are divided when it came up over there at the beginning of the day over there in the Pacific Ocean, at that international date line as man has set that up, and that's where we're at, and the Lord deals with us in things. As the sun came up and different ones of the Lord's churches met on the first day of the week all over this globe, the Lord Jesus has been walking amongst the candlesticks. We've got a candlestick that's there, Olmsted Baptist Church, and the Lord Jesus is walking amongst the candlesticks, the candlestick of Northside Baptist Church and Faith Baptist Church and Clark and Sunnyview Baptist Church and New Testament Baptist Church and Julian Baptist Church. Lord Jesus is walking amongst candlesticks. It's important. He's not somewhere else. Walking amongst candlesticks. I tell you what, that's a great and wondrous thing, isn't it? that over there in glory, over there in heaven, over there where the Lord is, wherever it is that they're considering about what's going on here today. May we praise our Lord for it. Tell you what, you take a look and you think about the Lord Jesus and you meditate about the Lord Jesus. And our brother was touched this morning with the passage that was at hand of the care of the Lord for those people and for his disciples and for the miracle that he did. You go to thinking about the Lord and it'll break us down and it'll lift him up. And we need that. We need to be stirred about our Lord and who he is and what he does and what he's done for us and what he's promised for us. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And he's had to do with us. And we look over here in Revelation chapter 21. And we see this here in verse number 1. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw, this is John writing, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Are you ready for that? This old earth's going away. And a new one's coming. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. And I, John, saw the holy city. And New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What a wonderful promise. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. It is the truth. He will make all things new. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And there's a great lesson and an understanding in those letters written to those seven churches about being overcomers. The position of the Lord Jesus Christ is that overcomers in the Lord overcome in his churches for this age, this time that we live in. Every one of those churches have a message to those that will overcome in the Lord. And he says here, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I'm Alpha and Omega. That's who's speaking here. That's who's promised this. That's who's doing this. It's true and faithful. And he shall be my son. The greatest one that has ever been has adopted me and made me his son. Through Christ. Through the one that is Alpha and Omega. But be warned, you that are here without Christ, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. As well as we who are saved and the Lord's look forward to those promises that he's given to us from Alpha and Omega, you can know that the promise is sure from Alpha and Omega that if you leave this life without him as your Savior, those things will come to pass for you. We rejoice. We praise our Lord that we're secure in him because of him, not of works of righteousness that we have done. The Lord didn't look at Jim Duke and say, hey, that'll be a good one to save. He's got some talent and some ability. We'll use him. No. I was as rotten. I was the rottenest and the dirtiest and the lowest of the low. And Jesus saved this old sinner. for his honor and glory and praise. Why? I know not why, other than he loves me. And what a wondrous thing to be loved by the one that's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And then we come over to Revelation 22 and verse number 12, where the scripture says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." Been thinking about that, about the recompense of reward that's with the Lord. We don't serve the Lord for the reward. We serve him and we worship him and we praise him and we obey him because he's the Lord. And well, we should. That's what we've been created for. That's what we've been saved unto. But you know what? He does have a reward. There is a reward. "My reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." What's your position with him? Are you with him? Are you found in him? Are you subject to him? Are you against him? Alpha and Omega. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." What's the first commandment to those that are without Christ? Repent and believe the gospel. That, when we're talking about commandments, you can't go down here to the do's and the don'ts that the Lord has, say like in the Ten Commandments, and think that you can make yourself righteous and acceptable to God. You've got to go to the first. And you must receive the Lord as he says that he is and you are. You're guilty, wicked, sinful, and deserving of hell, no hope, nothing to offer. God is righteous and holy and cannot tolerate sin. He can be long-suffering with sin for a while, but he will deal with every single disobedience against him. You have no hope. But he sent his son, who is the standard, whose vicarious, sacrificial, atoning death and burial and resurrection he accepts for the fulfillment of his law. The Lord Jesus Christ was without sin. And for sinners that will repent of their condition and their way and their sin and their disobedience against God in every way, no holds barred, no exceptions, will repent of that before God and receive Jesus Christ, he said, there's forgiveness for you. There's hope for you. There's salvation for you. And the sacrifice, the atonement, the Savior that he has sent, his Son. God, having come and died and suffered these things and lives forevermore for the sinner. That's the beginning of the commandments. That's what all the commandments point to. He said, "Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, as it was prophesied and fulfilled, and the bright and morning star." He shines into the glory of God, and he shines for the sake of his children. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." The Spirit of God sends out that call, come to Jesus. And the bride, the church, that's our work. We teach all nations. We look to tell the gospel to every creature. And that is repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, come unto him. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy, of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written into this book. You know what? You don't add to Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. You don't add to him. You receive it. The way that he is and the way that he brings it and the way that he tells it. You receive him the way that he is. You don't add to Alpha and Omega. He adds to us. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You don't take down Alpha and Omega. He is who he is eternally and forevermore. You receive him the way that he is. We glorify him in the way that he is. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, have we seen. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. And John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. I want to see you that way all the time. I want to be in your presence physically all the time. John rejoiced, and boy, he had some troubling things that the Lord showed him, and he had some disturbing things. He had some things that he was shown and seen and heard that he didn't write down because the Lord told him not to write it down. But he said, oh, this has been a great and wonderful time here on Patmos. I'm ready for it to be like this all the time. I'm ready to be with Alpha and Omega forevermore, to not to be separated by time and distance, to not be separated from the Lord. Because what John saw when he saw the Lord in his purity and his holiness, his white hot righteousness. And he then understood once again about his own wickedness in his flesh. That's the reason he was prostrate before the Lord. And the Lord said, fear not. I'm the first and the last. Fear not. Even so come, Lord Jesus, Alpha and Omega. I am Alpha and Omega. Where do you stand with Alpha and Omega? May the Lord help and bless you to see the truth.